Banks Reporting. For investors who want the whole story, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, starting out the second hour talking really about the conventional markets with Chris Temple. Chris has a newsletter called The National Investor. Chris is a very, very interesting guy. He's a very knowledgeable guy. Chris, I put up something on our website yesterday that I thought was really intriguing, to say the least, and it had to do with an article that was in, oh gosh, Market Watch. And in the Market Watch article, they were talking about the fact that it looks like we could be in the beginning of a bear market, simplistically speaking, for the conventional market. I thought it was interesting. I put it up on our site. We got some interesting comments about it. You kind of addressed this issue in your July 19th issue of the National Investor when you said, quote, "Interestingly, we are being confronted with the fact that the U.S. economy is slowing markedly." Let's chat about that, man.
Well, what's interesting, Al, is that I don't think it's any great secret that the stock market has managed, as measured by the Dow and the S&P 500 anyway, to hit nominal new highs at the same time that the economy hasn't done that well and is doing worse. I mean, the final number for first quarter growth was 1.8%. It's fairly widely acknowledged now that the second quarter is going to be lucky to see half that number. We may even be about at the flat line. Now, what does this mean? It means that, and I think that this was finally driven home. I've been saying this, you know this, I said this incessantly.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be no tapering by the Federal Reserve. Ben Bernanke is not going to mothball part of his fleet of helicopters. He pretty much told the House and the Senate that this past week. He stressed again and again and again since June, when the markets, I believe, misunderstood him and overreacted, that if the Fed's perfect case, perfect world, rosy scenario for the economy does not come about, and it's not, and he said to the Congress this week that things have changed since June, then they are not going to start tapering in September. And I've said it, I'll say it again, before they cut back on their $85 billion a month that they're spending on buying treasury paper, mortgage paper, they'll probably increase it. Because the economy on its own cannot grow any further. It's still too leveraged. Consumers are still too strapped. That's the fact of life. Now, you put against that the fact that this QE is going to continue, and there's still a lot of money out there. Money managers have to put money to work.
Right.
Investors, to some extent, have to put money to work. What do they do? And here's a theme I'm really starting to talk about again in just the last few weeks. Back in the 2000 time frame, when we were seeing a peak in the momentum craze and the tech stocks, the dot-com stocks and things like that, we had a general market blow-off. What a lot of people have already forgotten is that at the same time when we saw from 2000 to 2002 that the stock market got hammered, I mean, tech stocks lost three-quarters of their value, the major market average is 30 to 40%, during that same time frame, we started bull markets for many sectors, even as the rest of the market and the overall stock exchanges were coming down. Resource stocks, housing stocks, a lot of value stocks that in 1998 and 1999 investors wouldn't give them the time of day because all the money was momentum money coming into sectors. It was going into index funds and that type of thing. And so people that could see the shift coming to where investors were actually going to start acting like investors again and say, okay, with the tech stocks and the dot-coms, we overdid it, but there's still a lot of money here. What do? They looked around, found housing stocks at the beginning of a big housing boom that had price-earnings ratios of 4 and 5. They found resource stocks at the end of a 20-year bear market. And I could mention others as well, but those are two huge examples.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that relate to today? I'm not saying we're going to have a 30 or 40% crash today. It's always possible. The market's overdue generally for a correction, but there's still a pile of money out there
that
is invested and needs to be invested. People are getting a little bit leery with bonds. My belief is that the spike we've seen recently in interest rates for the time being is over, and we'll see some equilibrium for a while. But investors now are going to be confronted with kind of a pattern of what we saw during the 2000 crash, but the names are going to be different. All right. What we've seen for the recent past is that a lot of investors have got disgusted with the market because value investing hasn't worked. good companies, whether it's in resources, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's basic type of, you know, bread and butter, basic economy stuff, people don't give them the time of day. They're all chasing momentum. They're all buying the index funds. A lot of the same pattern now because of all of this tailwind that the Fed has given us. Well, that was based, Al, on the assumption that the general economy was going to do well going forward. Now we're learning it's not. The rest of the world is in recession pretty much. And so now people need to step back and say, wait, we're not going to get this perfect world the Fed talked about. That's why they can't start tapering. We're not going to get back to 3 or 4% growth. We'll be lucky to have any growth with the U.S. economy, maybe even through the balance of the year. So what do we do with our money? Number one, there are sectors that have been hit 20, 30, 40% recently that got hit because of this fear that interest rates were going to go up dramatically. So you've got a lot of good, solid companies that are on sale right now, pay good dividends, and I think most of them will at least hold their own, even if the stock market overall did have a 10 or 20% correction. I started adding some of those names to my list for subscribers this week. It's a little early for resources yet to be included in that, but I'll tell you what's coming down the road, is that if this scenario that I'm describing, this environment, Al, unfolds, we'll see not only the Fed, but other central banks print even more money with incrementally less impact, not only for the economy, that's already a given. The economy's done little for a few trillion bucks worth of, you know, the Fed's balance sheet. If that continues and bonds and stocks even down the road come into question, investors will be forced back into stuff that they can put their money into that may be about the only thing left to save their purchasing power. Yeah. And, you know, another quick history lesson, that was a decision investors had to make in the late 70s when all of a sudden the Fed got so carried away back then trying to print money that back then they created double-digit inflation. We won't have to get to double-digit inflation, at least what the Fed admits, this time around to see a resurgence in commodities. So first we're going to see dividend names. We're going to see good, solid mom-and-pop companies. I think that Bernanke's take this week on the Fed's not going to taper right away and may not do it at all, I think that has helped put a floor under gold, as you and I are talking. It's kind of like a coiled spring. It wants to go above 1,300. Can't quite do it, but it may. We're going to see that, and we're going to see energy lead the way. And down the road, and I've said this before, down the road, commodities will have a broader comeback, not because the central banks and all their money printing have succeeded in turning the global economy around, but because they have failed. And that these things will be the only thing left with value to put your money into.
Well, I think that's a really good point. You know, I have to say, in the third segment of the show, Jay Taylor and I discussed gold a little bit, but then segued into the resource sector companies. And I have to agree with something Jay said, because I've been saying it for a long time also, and that is, I personally think we're seeing a real turn right now in the resource sector. I think we're just in the beginning of it. Do you agree with me or disagree with me on that one?
I agree somewhat on that. I think that gold as a commodity, because it's more than a commodity, it's money. I think energy already, they will lead the way. You're going to have to be very, very selective, though, because we still see some headwinds for basic commodities. Copper, nickel, iron ore, things like that, I'd be scared to death of those now, because the risks for the global economy are still toward recession and even the global depression.
Yeah.
So gold is okay in that scenario. Some energy areas are okay in that scenario. A lot of the basic materials, especially that build cities, and it's too early for those, in my view.
I think we're seeing a change in the resource sector, though, and I have to tell you, in terms of conventional markets, you know, what I'm reading between the lines and what I'm hearing you say is that may not be the best place to be right now. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
From the makers of Blanket Pocket, we bring you a serious message about the health risks associated with cell phones and wireless devices. Studies have shown that long-term exposure can contribute to an assortment of health risks. Blanket Pocket offers you two new products designed to help alleviate your concerns. See these two remarkable products at BlanketPocket.com. Call 888-315-9618. Free shipping to the lower 48. BlanketPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Okay, I got Michael Schlumberger on the line with me right now. Michael is the Chief Operating Officer of Passport Potash. Was on the show earlier this week talking a little bit about himself in the context of what he's doing for Passport, and talking a little bit about updating the company. I asked Michael if he would come back and on the weekend show, because I think too many people out there don't really understand the importance that potash plays to our, certainly our, the agricultural element element of our society, but also to other elements of our society. And I think too many people don't realize that this particular mineral is really in short supply in the United States. We import, if I'm not mistaken, out of a total demand of about 9 million tons, Michael, we only produce about 1 million tons in the United States, leaving an 8 million ton shortfall. That's a ton of potash, bud.
That's an awful lot of potash. That is correct. And like you say, only about 1 million tons produced in the United States, primarily in New Mexico and a little bit in Utah and a little bit in Michigan. And certainly that leaves the door wide open for domestic producers.
Yeah, it really does. Before we get perhaps another update on PPI, Passport Potash, I really would like to get a bit of a synopsis from you as to the ABCs of what potash is and why it's important.
Well, certainly. Potash, of course, I think most people realize is a potassium salt, and it's important to the plant. It serves as a regulator for the plant. It basically is involved with the absorption in water. It raises resistance to infections, boosts strength to the plant. You know, used in combination with other fertilizers, it's very instrumental in increasing yields. You know, the good thing with this as well is there's also some industrial uses, and paper, pharmaceutical, detergents are also users of potash. In fact, we had a customer once come through from Japan, and they told us that even plasma TVs had a small amount of potash in them.
Isn't that interesting? You know, on this particular site, Michael, everybody's pretty focused on gold and silver, you know, and obviously certain other base metals. But I don't think enough people really realize the importance of the asset that you folks are working with down there. Now, I have to say my interest in your company stems from the fact that, number one, there aren't a lot of roadblocks in your way, so to speak, in terms of turning your property into a producing potash mine. Okay, and the property is in Arizona. It basically is in Holbrook. The town of Holbrook is behind you guys 1,000% because you're going to provide them with a fairly significant, relatively speaking, amount of employment in the area. The company, I guess I should say, has done everything right in terms of putting together agreements with the various people living in the area, which includes the Hopi Indian tribe. Now, this has been a long time coming. You know, as one of our listeners commented, Michael, after you and I did a brief overview as to what was going on currently with Passport Potash, one of our listeners commented and said, you know, this company really is the little engine that could, in the sense that you guys have been working on that property for a long, long time. Now, along those lines, one thing that you've done that I think is very commendable is in terms of providing financing for the company. If I'm not mistaken, a large amount of the capital has come from the individual wallets of a number of the insiders, specifically officers and directors. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I personally, if I were in your shoes, Michael, I would be very, very comfortable in working, you know, along with a team of people like that. Having said that, I'd like you to do me a favor, and for our radio listeners, tell us a little bit, if you would, about what you guys are doing in the area of Holbrook and what you're going to be doing down there over the course of the next year or so.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that we're working on right now is our pre-feasibility study, and we've had some meetings. For the pre-feasibility study, we're going to use Urquhart. Urquhart was the people that did the PEA for us, so they've got a large amount of familiarity with the program. We had a meeting with them, I believe it was last month, and we sat down and started working on some things. Our geologist has currently prepared a bunch of samples for us, and that's getting ready to go to Saskatchewan. The in PEA, when it first came out, was looking at hot leach, and we're sending those samples up to Saskatchewan to see if we can improve upon that process at all. Their flotation would be a lot less energy intensive, and we think that we can possibly float the material, reduce our operating costs by doing that. But until we run our tests, we're not for sure on that.
You know, Michael, I know this is a forward-looking statement, or it's going to be a forward-looking statement on your part, but I want to ask the question anyway, and I'm going to identify this thing right now as definitely being a forward-looking statement. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, past performance is absolutely no indicator of future results. But if you were to predict, okay, number one, the possibility of your properties down there actually going into potash production, what probability would you give that, Michael?
Well, I think if you put a time frame on it, it becomes a little more difficult. I would certainly put this in the high 80s, that at some point in time this property is absolutely going to go mm-hmm. into production. You know, the crunch becomes somewhat of the time frame on that, whether that's next year or 20 years from now. That's where my crystal ball breaks down a little bit. Fully anticipate that at some point in time, people will be mining in the Holbrook Basin.
Why do you give this such a high level of certainty? This is just Michael's opinion, and I have to say I share that opinion, having been down to the property.
Well, the big part about this is the infrastructure and the shallowness of the deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you look at the infrastructure here, and there are so many things that you don't have to do that many of the competing properties in other parts of the world, you don't have to put in the highways, you don't have to put in the railroads, you don't have to put in the electricity. And all these things play a huge part into that. Plus that, certainly the stability in the United States is far different than the stability in other parts of the world. And it makes this so much more attractive. Plus, just as you alluded to, look at the deficit between 1 million tons production and what we import, and that makes it very, I think, very lucrative for a company to come in to mine out the deposit.
Yeah. I have to say that I agree with what you're saying. You know, you guys are putting me in an interesting position in that you're really increasing my knowledge about what I think is a very important segment of our economy, and that is obviously the agricultural sector. I think, you know, when people realize the importance of the agricultural sector to our economy, when people realize the importance of potash, I think that shows further, to me anyway, that if you want to invest in the resource industry, diversification is really important, and don't rule out things like this. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't construe any of this as investment advice. It is not. I'm simply telling you about a company that I am involved in. Okay, stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival
survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Here to close out the final two segments of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, I've got John McCoach with me. John is the president of the TSX Venture Exchange. He's been involved in the resource sector for as long as I've known him, which is too many years. I'll tell you, John, you and I are getting too old, my friend. But I ran into John last Tuesday at a golf tournament that the TSX Venture and the Toronto Stock Exchange put on. It was a charity event. We're going to talk about that later. But prior to getting into what the various exchanges in Canada, how they return to the community, for lack of better terms, we're going to talk a little bit about the resource sector in general as it is represented on both the TSX Venture Exchange and the Toronto Stock Exchange. Now, the reason I wanted to do this with John is because I am firmly convinced that the resource sector vis-a-vis the stocks is going to come back. I'm not going to ask John to comment about that because in his capacity it really wouldn't be appropriate for him to do that, but you all know how I feel. But we're going to talk a little bit about the types of companies that are listed on the TSX Venture Exchange. We're going to talk about the qualifications / sophistication of the various management members of these companies. And I think it'll be something that you guys and gals will be very, very interested in and find to be very informative. John, first of all, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Al. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I got started in this crazy business back in 1982, and, you know, the old Vancouver Stock Exchange was a horse of a different color back in those days. Today, I believe that we have a very, very sophisticated group of companies, for the most part, that are involved in your universe. Can you make some comments on that?
I agree with you. I think a lot of things have changed since the 80s. You're a relative newcomer. I started in the business in 1981, and I worked with a lot of public companies in the brokerage industry, and I worked a little bit of time. I spent a little bit of time in market surveillance at the stock exchange,
right,
then back to the brokerage industry. So, seen a lot of interesting characters in this business, a lot of interesting companies, and I agree with your observation that the market's matured a lot, and there's some very sophisticated entrepreneurs running a lot of companies now, and some of them have done very well for their shareholders.
Well, you know, you make a comment about me being a relative newcomer in the industry. I actually have been involved in the industry first working for a consulting firm in Portland, Oregon since 1978, and then I started my firm in October of 1982. And not trying to correct you, just showing everybody that I'm a late bloomer. I didn't start in this industry until I was like 36, and I think that you are significantly younger than you were, I guess I should say, significantly younger than that when you first got started. But, you know, the one comment I would have to make is even going back to the 80s, you know, when we had Don Hudson, who, when I did media work for the exchange, Don was the president, Dave Londe was the vice president of the exchange. You know, those guys were constantly going in the direction of raising the bar for the member company, or the listed companies, I guess I should say. And I think when all is said and done, they were very, very successful in doing that. And I think that change probably really, really became obvious probably in 1998, 1999. Since then, I think it's been, you know, the evolution has been very, very positive.
I agree with you. I think the Vancouver Stock Exchange did a lot of very positive things to improve the market, give shareholders a fair chance. But like other things in life, you know, it's a reputation is so easy to lose and so difficult to get back.
You bet.
It just weren't able to get past some of the legacy issues and the perceptions. And so when the Vancouver Stock Exchange closed in 1999 and we kind of had a fresh start in the junior capital market in Canada, it allowed sort of really that. It allowed a bit of a fresh start with other structural changes that were very important, but to continue what those people had started and worked hard for.
Well, let's talk about the change that occurred at that time. Can you be a little more specific, John?
Well, starting in 1998, there was a lot of discussions in the exchange business in Canada, and essentially, it started with discussions about the Alberta Stock Exchange and the Vancouver Stock Exchange merging. Very quickly in those conversations, and I should say I was just fortunate to have been in the right place at the right time, or at least I think so, so that I was actually at the table on those discussions, which was a fascinating period for me. Those discussions quickly turned into this is more than just about putting two exchanges together. It was an opportunity to create a national platform to support early stage public companies across Canada. And so that was the focus pretty much on day two. That at the same time, the Montreal Exchange and the Toronto Stock Exchange were talking about sort of what made sense on carving up the senior market and the derivatives business. So that all came together very quickly, and by the end of 1999, the landscape was entirely different. We had the Toronto Stock Exchange focused on the senior cash equities in Canada, the Bourse de Montréal focused on derivatives, and what was then called the Canadian Venture Exchange that was created out of all of the junior markets in Canada, including Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg, the juniors in Montreal, and the over-the-counter market in Ontario. That created the Canadian Venture Exchange.
Yeah.
And in 2001, the Toronto Stock Exchange actually acquired the Canadian Venture Exchange, which is now the TSX Venture Exchange. So that's the short version of the history.
You know, one comment that I would have to make is, as you know, I was spent 30 years basically doing regulatory work for Canadian companies, and interestingly enough, primarily Canadian mining companies. And the regulatory work consisted of interfacing between the companies themselves and the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States. Well, throughout that exercise, I also became very, very familiar with the lower echelon of companies in the United States, companies that would trade on the bulletin board, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to tell you, and I say this in all due candor, and that is the regulations in Canada since at least 1999, and probably even before that, but I can state categorically that since 1999, 2000 in that area, you've got some much more stringent regulations up there than we had in the United States for quite some time. In the junior sector.
Yeah, our exchange takes a different approach than most, if not almost all, exchanges in the world, in that there's a lot of oversight of the corporate activities that the listed companies can do. Mm-hmm. Now, that comes at a cost. And there's a burden that's put on these companies, and for the most part, they would tell you that it's an expensive burden, but I think our listed companies would say that they told us many times in many ways that they wouldn't really have it any other way.
Right.
Because without that regulated junior market, the companies at this stage of development would not have the access to capital that they've enjoyed in the last decade or more, or the liquidity that they can get in our market. Not at all times, of course. Market cycles come and go. But I think also the biggest change for us is a focus on vetting people and the technology that we have been able to acquire in the last 10 years to check backgrounds of people. Because looking at dilution calculations or related party transactions and that sort of oversight is important, but getting comfortable with the people that are participating in your market is the most important thing that we can do as an exchange, particularly for early stage companies.
Well, life is all about people. Business is all about people. There's no question about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a real quick break. Stick around. I'm going to be back to wrap up the show with John.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Way.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, back to wrap up the show with John McCoach. You know, I want to say one thing, and that is the Carlin family has a huge, huge passion for the junior sector, particularly the Canadian junior sector. You know, I've made my living in that area for over 30 years. Our youngest daughter works in that area as an office manager for a group of public companies. Actually, our middle daughter produces this show, as listeners are aware, and the show is pretty much, you know, we don't focus necessarily on the junior sector, but we probably devote at least a third of every program, maybe as much as a half, to the resource sector. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't be doing that if this area hasn't been something that I have found to be more than just a little bit interesting, to say the least. You know, one of the reasons I'm saying that is the TSX Venture Exchange and the Toronto Stock Exchange really try to give back to their communities. And when I say their communities, I'm not just talking about Vancouver, but I'm talking about all of Canada. You know, I played in a golf tournament last Tuesday where John and I struck up another conversation, and I was so impressed with this. By the way, this tournament was sponsored totally by was basically the headline, the organizer, I guess is the best way to put it, was the TSX Venture and the Toronto Stock Exchange. These guys raised over $100,000 for the following categories of people, not only in Vancouver, where I played in the tournament, but nationwide and internationally. The three categories of people were, number one, sight-challenged people, number two, learning-disabled people, and number three, people in other parts of the world, distressed parts of the world, where they couldn't afford libraries. The Toronto Stock Exchange and the TSX Venture put together a golf tournament. Those three sectors got, I believe, in excess of $100,000, and they do this every single year. Number one, why do you guys do that, John?
Well, I think it's important. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the kind words. It really is an honor for us to do that. It's not a chore. It's important to bring the community together in each of the cities that we operate, because it really is about working together as a community to make the capital markets work. And it's also It's not our idea to give back to charity. I've found in my 30 years in this business that the people who are fortunate to be successful in this business do give back, and I've seen that the entire time I've been in the business. So we're just sort of following their lead, really, and it makes everybody really sort of feel good about coming together and doing more than just making money.
Well, I agree 1,000% on that. You know, I keep stressing here, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this particular tournament is the fact that it's all about doing what's right. It is all about doing not something to make yourself more money or not something to make yourself look good in front of a group of people, but it's all about doing what's right in the community. You know, John, I got to tell you, I spent a fair amount of time during that tournament talking, and the reason I did, quite frankly, is because my wife, as I told you, is a retired occupational therapist. She's worked with challenged children all of her career, et cetera, et cetera. So I was very interested in talking to, as I mentioned, the two gals who were, if I'm not mistaken, from the Yukon, who were working with learning disabled kids, not only in the Yukon, but also in British Columbia. I was very interested in chatting with the sightless young man who has taken his life and totally turned it around by helping other people, including himself, and, you know, and the list goes on. But it's none of these people are doing this for any profit motive. Damn it, they're doing it because they want to make a difference in society, right?
Yeah, the sightless young man that was there was Donovan Tidsley.
Yeah,
and wasn't he great?
Fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
Your listeners may be interested to know he was on a putting green, and this was his words, not mine, but he put up a challenge to beat the blind guy.
Yeah,
and the customers just loved it, and I understand he was a pretty good putter.
Well, he did that, and he was also on a tee box where he had another beat-the-blind guy deal. When our foursome got to that tee box, it was really interesting because two of the guys beat the blind guy, and we're all pretty decent golfers, and two of the guys didn't. But I spent a fair amount of time talking with Donovan, you know, and he is, boy, I got to tell you, he's a formidable guy to deal with in the sense that he doesn't consider himself to be disadvantaged at all. But, you know, but getting back to the importance of this thing, you know, we see so much verbiage, or I guess media coverage in the United States of, you know, capitalism is bad, capitalism is all cap. I mean, I've actually got friends who have made the comment all capitalists are dishonest, et cetera, et cetera. And, John, I got to tell you, bud, going to that tournament just really, really, you know, put my faith back into not only our industry, but put my faith back into the concept of capitalism. I mean, at the dinner, as an example, you know, when one of the guys in the audience stood up and made the comment, we were doing I think it's called a reverse drawing or whatever, and the winner of that drawing was gonna, you know, take home $3,500, $4,000, whatever, and some guy in the audience, when we were down to three tickets, a fellow in the audience stood up and he said, I'm here to say I will donate to the charities $10,000 right now if you people holding those last three tickets agree, if you win, to donate all of your money to the charities. I mean, I got to tell you, man, that says something, don't you think?
That was quite an emotional moment, wasn't it? It was great.
Well,
it was very, very generous. I won't mention the individual's name.
No.
Because I haven't asked him if he would like to do that, but they... I was very impressed.
Yeah, I think we all were. I mean, it really. I got home that night, and I couldn't. I didn't let Kathy go to bed because I guess I had to tell her blow by blow what happened at that thing. John, we got 3 minutes or so left here. What's the future of the TSX Venture Exchange?
Well, I think it's very positive. I mean, clearly, natural resource companies are facing a challenging time, particularly in the mining industry, and even more specifically, the junior miners. And, you know, they've enjoyed a really a good run, and they in 2009, 2010, and 11. But it has been a bit more challenging in the last couple of years, particularly in the last year.
Yep.
But as long as you know you believe that there's going to be a demand for commodities and this sector will come back. But our market is more than just natural resource companies as well. Like the technology sector is getting a lot of attention right now, and some of these companies are doing very, very well. So it's all about, as you say, the capital markets are so important to giving back to the community, but the junior capital markets are also very important for the economy at large, because these are the companies, when they're successful, that create the jobs. Like one of the most things that I'm most proud of our marketplace is the number of companies that have gone on from our market to the Toronto Stock Exchange and grown to be some of Canada's largest companies.
Right.
For example, about 600 companies have graduated from our junior market to our senior market in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, many are now in the TSX S&P Composite Index, which is, you know, arguably the largest, you know, most liquid companies in Canada. And about 20% of that index is made up of companies that started off on our junior market.
Well, you know, it's a pure and simple fact that the advantage that the TSX Venture Exchange has over many exchanges, or over the lower tier, I guess I should say, in the United States, is companies do get a chance. They can go out and they can raise small amounts of money through private placements. That capital infusion can allow those companies then to grow and contribute not only to the immediate environment that they're in, but also to the world. I mean, I got to tell you, my friend, I have seen over the past 33, 34 years, I have seen some incredibly successful companies that would have never gotten there were it not for the capital raising ability of the junior exchanges in Canada. John, thank you so much for your time. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed this week's show.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.